Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor Taiwo Dukoya, the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Church. It is our prayer that the message you're about to hear will no doubt shape on your destiny in Christ. Be blessed as you listen.
In Psalm 16, David was one of his meditations, as it were. I hope you understand that what we have as Psalms, and we'll have them, have some of them in the body of the scriptures too. Because if you look at Chronicles, look at Psalms, you see a whole chapter, Psalm something, a chapter in one of these books too. Because these were people's lives that were just kind of recorded. They just picked out their meditation, as it were. So people sat down meditating on the word, meditating on the goodness of God. And that was how Psalms all came about. Because somewhere along the line, they began to document their thoughts. And such a tremendous blessing. So Psalm 16, in Psalm 16 you find David, you know, in verse 5, says, "O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain," hallelujah, glory be to God in the highest, "that is, you uphold, you sustain my lot. The lines have fallen for me," or to me, "in pleasant places." Yes. I like the way the Bible says. See, to let you know that somebody was thinking, saying, yes, talking to himself, yes, I have a good inheritance. Why? Because, "O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance. You are my cup. You maintain my lot. That's why the lines have no choice but to fall for me in pleasant places." How do you define favor? He says, "Yes, I have a good inheritance," or "I have a good heritage." He was talking to himself. He wasn't preaching. He wasn't teaching. Yes, I have a good heritage. The question is this. If you are asked to describe the life of David, would you agree with him that he had a good heritage? I don't think there's anybody that ever lived that had like he had. Can you see the pattern? Can you see that you can begin to change some things from right, from this moment, about your life? I mean, the rest of your stay here on earth. You can. Hallelujah. 7, "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me," talking about the presence of God, "because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Can you see the way what for some was the rituals of religion was lifestyle to David? "I have set the Lord always before me, he's always at my right hand. Anywhere you see me, just look to my right, you see the Lord. You may not see, but I see him, he's always at my right hand." And given that that was an expression, what he's saying is that he's always my standby. He's always my strengthener. That was the way he lived his life. No wonder his life was the way it was. And the interesting thing is that we can still get people who will attain and even much more. You say, how can I? Because you are in Christ Jesus. I am in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So why I'm reading this is that, can you see his tab on the presence of God for his life? If you leave this, go to Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd." Again, you know what he's saying? The sheep does not exist without the shepherd. It will be consumed in the wild. So the Lord is my shepherd. And hear what he says, "I shall not want. I'm always under the gaze of my Lord. I shall not want." That's presence. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." Everything about his life is he. I'm always under his watch. Presence. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear." Why? "The Lord is with me." Can you see? Can you see his life? Now, with this in mind, I just want to show you one or two things. Then I'll stop. Wow. Praise the Lord. I just showed you David. I'll still go back to David for a good example, as it were. But there's an instruction in the New Testament for us. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. Praise God. Beautiful chapter to read, but because of our time, we won't go through all. Just take some few verses. Three verses, as a matter of fact, or four, from verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Imaginations, arguments. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Praise the Lord. So I just want to dwell on this for a short while and then make some references. By virtue of who we are today, see, David knew that he was a covenant child of God, and that was why he projected life the way we just saw it. He knew that he would not do anything in life that God would not back him up with. He knew that he wouldn't go anywhere that God would not back him up. He just knew it. The few times that he was presumptuous, they were terrible. But you could count them. For us, we are much more positioned than David. You say, why? Because the Bible says, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. Come on, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you believe in your heart and you confess in your mouth that he is the Son of God, and that he's the Savior that died for your sins, you'll be saved. And that was what we have done. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 begin to explain to us that from that moment, it's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. You are not measured by the failures of your life, of your family, of the generations past anymore. You are not measured by the occultism of the generations past in your family. It's a brand new beginning. If any man be in Christ, is a new creation. All things are passed away. You see, you say, Pastor, what you're saying is true. But you see, what used to happen to me long before I got born again is still happening. I understand. But it doesn't change the position of the Word of God. Neither does it change the position of the born-again Christian in Christ Jesus. Well, the problem you're having is that you are ignorant of who you are. And you are ignorant of what you have. And that's the unfortunate thing about the kingdom of God. When you are ignorant, the devil will take advantage of you. But God will still save you. But you see, you'll be shortchanged on a lot of things. And that's why we have very meaningful Christians. When they sneeze, people will somersault. But in their lives, they are still fighting curses. And they believe that they are generational. And so they allow that to rule. It only takes someone to tell them that, look. The day you gave your life to Jesus, there was exchange of covenants. Because covenants don't give in easily. That's why people who have witchcraft, when you are dealing with them, or people who belong to some occultic group, when they come in touch with the fire of God, when you're talking to them, you see them very resistant. But when the fire of God and the power of the Holy Ghost hits them, you see them sobbing like somebody died for them. Because the devil doesn't want to give in easily, but he does give in the name of Jesus. You know why? Because at the name of Jesus, every knee, not some, shall bow, and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so people get delivered, as it were. So the fact that you're still going through stuff does not mean that God's position has changed or his word has changed. The pastor, I believe, and things are yet to be. You see, when it comes to this belief or faith in Christ Jesus, it's not a one-time thing. It's a present continuous thing. Until the day you change form and begin to be spirit, no more body. At that time, you won't need faith because you'll be seen face to face. Naked eyes, you see him. You see him, you understand. But right now, we are the spirit beings that are clothed in body. But we are still spirits. To forget that is to give the devil an unnecessary opportunity. I didn't intend to say all this. But I believe that today is somebody's day. In the name of Jesus. Believe in me, I do. Glory be to God in the highest. So he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty. Again, I mean, just looking at the scripture, the weapons of our warfare. So in other words, you don't need to argue with anybody about warfare. The Bible says of the Christian, you are in the warfare. And if you look at the way God patterned life, the covenant life for us in the Old Testament, every time you see covenant children, you see war and victory, 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 war and victory. And when they turn away from God, then you see some defeats. Then they repent, victory, war, victory, war, victory, war. There was never a time that everything, I mean, by the time there was peace, they say, and David conquered, and now there was peace all around. So that by the time Solomon was coming, they said, now, I mean, he was the prosperity king. But Solomon blew it after a while. And by the time Solomon was leaving, he left a legacy of war for those who were coming. But you see, as far as covenant children of God are concerned, you will always overcome. And that's why the Bible says that many may be the afflictions of the righteous. It's not the afflictions of the non-righteous. It's the righteous. But the Lord does what? I can hear you. The Lord does what? So regardless of what you are going through today, there's deliverance.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so don't begin to feel like you're the only one. It happens to everybody. But what is interesting is that it ends well.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So that's warfare. Now, one thing that you should have considered before warfare is weapons. So if there's warfare, there must be weapons. Hello, I feel the fire now. If there are weapons, there must be weapons. If you don't fight with the appropriate weapon, then defeat is imminent. And that's exactly what he was addressing here. For these are Christian life, the weapons we use are not carnal. You see, some guy was talking to me some months back. He said, the challenge, he said, what is Boko Haram? He said, we have about the best army in the world. But when the army is ill-equipped, how can they fight? Which was what happened before. Which was, again, what was going to happen. But again, there's an impetus. I suddenly decided fighting again. It's, look, if you don't give us the right weapons, you give us guns that won't shoot, and they are studded, come on, we're in trouble. Hallelujah. If you are not well equipped, you cannot win a war. But you see, as far as you are concerned as a child of God, you are very well equipped. And if you are very well equipped, then you've got to understand your weapons.
Yes, sir.
You must know the weapons to use. And you must know that God has given you the weapon. And then you must be conversant with your weapon. Did you hear the testimonies? I picked promises, the word of God, and I heard God told me, what if she had taken her ATM card? As simple as ATM card. And only God knows how much she has there. I'm sure she didn't have 10 million. Because she was talking of 20,000. But as simple as ATM card, God spoke. Her life was spared. Why? Because of her weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not carnal. What does it mean to say they are not carnal? They are not worldly. They are not just tangible. They are not just fleshly. And so they are not limited to the weaknesses of the flesh. There's a difference if I bring, a compressor to sweep this floor, and if I decide to do see, the fuse you just left. One tiny spot. Can you imagine? But when you bring the compressor, weapon. Imagine if we had to build this place using our bare hands. It would take us. I don't know whether. It would take us lifetimes I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Or imagine if you are going to take on an adventure where you need about $100 million and all you ever have access to is 20,000 naira. It will take a long time. These are all tools. Hello? Praise the Lord. And I'm here to tell you that you are adequately equipped. But being adequately equipped will not work except you know that you are adequately equipped for the war. I was thinking of this and he invited me to the scripture. He says, when Moses was saying, take this thorn away from me. He prayed 3 times. He did what he knew to do. He knew the word. He said, but this thing persisted. God said, my grace is what? Sufficient. What does that mean? It is enough. And in the true explanation, my grace will do it and there will be extra. Amen. But what does that mean still? Where is his grace? You have my grace. So in other words, I know you are going through stuff, but I see an overcomer. Amen. But the overcomer must know the weapon that he or she has. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are what? When you see the word mighty used in the Bible, it is relative to God. Always. And by the time he's directly talking of God in his person, say, Almighty. Isaiah 11, talking about Jesus, said the Spirit, the Holy Ghost will come upon him. The Spirit of what? Wisdom. That's a weapon, isn't it? The Spirit of what? Understanding. That's a weapon, is it not? The Spirit of what? Counsel. That's a weapon, is it not? The next one, the Spirit of what? Might. Let's use to sing a song in Yoruba. Where God is identified with a thing, please be careful. Don't try. When it is God, please bow. And that's the mistake that the darkness of this age make. Had they known, they wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. Hello? See Jesus sending them out. He said, I send you out as what? Sheep among wolves. There is an appearance of weakness. But this sheep is God's tool. I wonder the wolf that will take it. That sheep will swallow up the wolf. Strange, isn't it? That's why when it concerns you, the supernatural is always at the fingertip of everybody. Because for you, if everybody has been failing, watching this man, he may be saying, it's a pity. All of a sudden, there's always something supernatural about him. He's a child of God. The Spirit of might. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are what? Mighty. Why are they mighty? Through God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God in the highest. See, a little boy's food in the hand of God. 5,000 men, probably 5,000 women, or 10,000 women, probably 15,000 children. But everybody sat down cool, and they were well fed, and there were extras. My grace is sufficient for you. Amen. Just put it in the hand of the master. But you see, the thing is, by your very nature, if it's in your hand, it's in his hand. Except you forget. Because you are complete in him. The day you give your life to Jesus, you become in him. Hello, is somebody hearing me? But where you don't know, you will struggle. Hear the psalmist. Say, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant place. He said, yes, I have a good heritage. He was probably going through stuff. He said, why are you talking this way? I want to carve an attitude with which you will welcome 2017. In the name of Jesus. It's going to be a dangerous year for the devil. In fact, it's going to be a bad year for the devil. It's going to be a supernaturally great year for the children of God. Year of unusual possibilities. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds. Ordinary rod in the hand of Moses. And Moses, you will part the sea. Moses, you will separate the sea by stretching out your rod. He didn't say, I will part the sea. Say, you. Because it was the rod of Moses. But the day Moses became aware of who he was, the rod of Moses became the rod of God. Anything identified with you is his. So you now need the consciousness of treating them as such. Your husband, your wife, your children, your finances, your health, your life. Whew. The weapons. We don't fight like the natural man. We have tools that they don't have. I have more references to make, but I have to go. So whether you're looking at the Old Testament or New Testament, that's what prevailed for them. After Anna got what she was looking for, he said, now I know that by strength shall no man prevail. God in his power. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6. It is not by might. It is not by power. It's only by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. But the natural man will always take it out of the hand of God and do it for himself. And struggle. And struggle. I feel the fire now. I believe that this coming year will be phenomenal in the name of Jesus. But even before then, the rest of this year will be interesting. When I say interesting, positively. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Maybe I should leave the rest for another time. But in this light, then we can really understand why there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We walk not after the flesh. Why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not, they are not flesh. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Come on, Galatians chapter 5, I think 24. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Glory be to God in the highest. And then Romans 8:28 now says, all things. Why? In the light of our discussion, all things work together for good. To them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. For his covenant children, you will never have regrets. In the name of Jesus. I mean, regret will never be found in your diaries. In the name of Jesus. That's why David say, yes, I have a good heritage. He knew it. I close with this. Like I said, I just introduced it. What am I closing with? As good as this situation is, or this position is, as it were, if you don't have faith, you don't enjoy it. Everything that grace has provided for us, and what is grace? Unmerited favor. It's not because you are qualified. As a matter of fact, you saw the quote on Twitter, on my page, on my hand rather, was it 2 days ago? He said, the very thing that disqualifies you in the natural qualifies you for grace. Because if you are qualified, then grace is. If you can handle it yourself. But the truth is that no matter how good you are, you can never be half or rather one tenth as good as when God handles it for you. And he wants to handle it for you. Because he's already handling it for you. By virtue of your covenant position, he's in charge. But when you don't know, you struggle with him. And when you struggle with him, he's a gentleman. He lets you have your go. But the day you get tired and shout, "Help me," he's there to pick you up. He never leaves. Come on, the prodigal son. Remember Peter? Looking at Jesus, he was walking on the sea. But when he saw the boisterous sea, he started to sink. What did he do? "Help me," or "Save me." And what were we told? Jesus stretched his hand, and right there, he's ever near you. He never left. He's been there all this while. You mean all through the trouble, he was there. You shut him out. Allow him. Let him make you a superstar. You say, "Me?" That's what he does. He takes the non-qualified and makes a superstar of them. True. That's what he does. That's his expertise. He takes the nobodies and makes them extraordinary. Can't you see that you are entering a year of the extraordinary? In the name of Jesus. You know one prayer I was praying when these thoughts were coming to me? I said, "Please satisfy me." Because food can't satisfy on earth. Alcohol can't satisfy on earth. Sex can't satisfy on earth. Which is why people embezzle and defraud. They use money for all these things. Money doesn't guarantee health. So don't even go near saying it will guarantee life. It's a lie. But when Christ, when Jesus satisfies you, all these things will satisfy you easily. The devil will have no tool to distract you. You'll be full and satisfied. Now I can appreciate Mary looking at the angel and saying, "This is strange, ultra strange." The power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Most High will come upon you. The power of the Holy Ghost will what? Overshadow you. And she said, "Let it be to me." In other words, I love my fiancé. We have plans and projections. My family, trouble there. Trouble in the community. Hey, these will leave me dissatisfied in every area. Ridicule and torture, confusion. But by the time she saw, she said, "Let me be filled with this." They will follow. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and all. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. They may look weak. So what does faith do? What does faith do? Because without faith, you can't get into this. What does faith do? Vis-a-vis the world, the physical, risk. That's why there will be pressure. Do it the way. Everybody does it this way. Everybody does it this way. And you are hearing God clearly. And you are saying, "I appreciate that. But I say, are you okay?" But I can hear God. If somebody had told her, "You mean you're going without your ATM card? What if it's more expensive?" Logical reasoning. But that could have been disastrous. So when it comes to faith in the physical realm, it's unusual risk. But I'm not removing the risk part of faith. There is a calculated risk for the covenant children of God. Yes. "Let it be to me according to your word." When the guy said, "I'm going away from this woman," the angel stopped him. He returned. Then he raised up the kings from a far country. Then he tapped the shepherds first of all. So in other words, Mary, don't think you'll be lonely or alone. I will raise up friends for you. And that's what he does. When your immediate surrounding does not understand, he will confirm it from a distant place. But that will be for a while, because one person will catch up, another will catch up, And one by one, the community of faith, full people, we build. And before you know, they spread like fire. That's the way God does it. He starts with a seed. May let it be his seed. So if you are looking for popularity, relax. Let God make you popular. Because he will. You say, what do you mean he will? He will announce his own glory. He will. Hello. Next year will be phenomenal. In the name of Jesus. Isn't God faithful? So what do? What's expected of me? Sit in my closet and say, God, when that woman came to me, okay, the anointing service before the last one, we're about to leave home. Then the lady, pastor, please, my sister, what's wrong with your sister? When she said what it was, when she started talking to me, I could smell her mouth. She wasn't dirty. The hospital was suspecting cancer of the palate. I know a number of people who are dead from that. I said, come to the anointing service. I said, by virtue of where we live, if we start to go now, we won't get home until 9, 10. By the time we come to service, we get home around 1. I said, no. And the place is dangerous. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus. Then the Lord said to me, he said, she was believing God for something. The devil took advantage of that. Okay. And I said it and I left. We came in and we sat there. The first testimony that was read was exactly the same. And the person was saying that she came to church, and when she got back there, the biopsy that was saying something, they couldn't find it anymore. I told my wife, I said, now I am certain that the person I pray for will be healed. Why should that be the first testimony? She has told me some strange things. Even yesterday, after many days, I'm just, you know, she was sleeping. She'll feel like the top of her mouth. Breathing was tough. Eating was tough. She felt like the top part of her mouth was collapsing to block her throat. So she was sleeping and she felt like, you know, you go, I don't know what you call that. She did it and the whole place just came up. And she swallowed it. And today, no more so. They are still waiting for the biopsy result. Today, the hole is blocking up. Today, there is no more smell from her mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. I've not gotten to begin to talk of the fruit of the Spirit, because love cannot fail. I'm yet to start talking about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm just talking generally. Get ready for an unusual year in 2017. Shall we rise? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, this light will shine in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. I want you to talk to God and give him praise and thank him for who you are, if you're a covenant child of God. And in line with what you're expecting next year, because through your hand there'll be wonders in the name of Jesus. Everything about you will manifest the greatness of God, because everything about him is great. Everyone written about him is great. And you are containing his word. Glory be to God in the highest. I say everything you touch will be great in the name of Jesus. It's an unusual year. You will surprise yourself in the name of Jesus. Even you yourself begin to wonder, is this me? You will pinch yourself. Is it a dream? And it will not be a dream at all. In the name of Jesus, it will not be a dream. No, in the name of it will not be a dream. In the name of Jesus, it will not be a dream. It will not be a dream. In the name of Jesus, it will not be a dream. It will be the hand of God at work in the name of Jesus. Because even the dust that will be part of the league to stop the glory of God will be licked up in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God in the highest. So yes, I have a good inheritance. I have a goodly heritage.
We know that you have been tremendously blessed by this message. For additional information and materials from Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, please contact us at the Fountain of Life Church, 12 Industrial Estate Road by PZ Industries, Off Town Planning Way, Ilukweju, Lagos. Visit our website at www.tfolc.org. Thank you. God bless you.